Last week I said that the story of Ruth is really the side story of the book that bears her name, and that the main story of this book is actually saving Naomi. In chapter 1, she lost her food, her family, and even her faith in God. By faith, I mean her confidence in God. She still intellectually believed in God, but she was not sure she could trust him anymore. She even embraced her bitterness toward God as her new identity, telling others to call her by the new nickname, Mara, which means bitter. But thanks be to God, this is not where the story of Naomi ends. Primarily through the generous and loyal love of his servants, the Lord will reveal to Naomi his faithful love for her. Last week, we looked at Ruth's loyal love for Naomi and how she committed herself to Naomi in covenant love, even after Naomi tried to dismiss her 3 times. And even though Naomi did not express any gratitude whatsoever for Ruth's loyal love. This week, we'll be looking at the loyal love of Boaz. And through the combination of Ruth's loyal love and Boaz's loyal love, Naomi's bitterness toward God will be banished, and her hope in God will return to her and begin to grow. Let's look together at Ruth chapter 2. Ruth chapter 2, starting in verse 1. Now Naomi had a relative on her husband's, a worthy man of the clan of Elimelech, whose name was Boaz. And Ruth the Moabite said to Naomi, "Let me go to the field and glean among the ears of grain after him in whose sight I shall find favor." And she said to her, "Go, my daughter." So she set out and went and gleaned in the field after the reapers. And she happened to come to the part of the field belonging to Boaz, who was of the clan of Elimelech. And behold, Boaz came from Bethlehem. And he said to the reapers, "The Lord be with you." And they answered, "The Lord bless you." Then Boaz said to his young man who is in charge of the reapers, "Whose young woman is this?" And the servant who is in charge of the reapers answered, "She's the young Moabite woman who came back with Naomi from the country of Moab. She said, 'Please let me glean and gather among the sheaves after the reapers.' So she came and she has continued from early morning until now, except for a short rest." Then Boaz said to Ruth, "Now listen, my daughter. Do not go to glean in another field or leave this one, but keep close to my young women. Let your eyes be on the field that they are reaping and go after them. Have I not charged the young men not to touch you? And when you are thirsty, go to the vessels and drink what the young men have drawn." Then she fell on her face, bowing to the ground, and said to him, "Why have I found favor in your eyes that you should take notice of me, since I am a foreigner?" But Boaz answered her, "All that you have done for your mother-in-law since the death of your husband has been fully told to me, and how you left your father and mother in your native land and came to a people that you did not know before. The Lord repay you for what you have done, and a full reward be given you by the Lord, the God of Israel, under whose wings you have come to take refuge." Then she said, "I have found favor in your eyes, my Lord, for you have comforted me and spoken kindly to your servant, though I am not one of your servants." And at mealtime, Boaz said to her, "Come here and eat some bread and dip your morsel in the wine." So she sat beside the reapers, and he passed to her roasted grain, and she ate until she was satisfied, and she had some left over. When she rose to glean, Boaz instructed his young men, saying, "Let her glean even among the sheaves, and do not reproach her. And also pull out some from the bundles for her, and leave it for her to glean, and do not rebuke her." So she gleaned in the field until evening. Then she beat out what she had gleaned, and it was about an ephah of barley. And she took it up and went into the city. Her mother-in-law saw what she had gleaned. She also brought out and gave her what food she had left over after being satisfied. And her mother-in-law said to her, "Where did you glean today? And where have you worked? Blessed be the man who took notice of you. So she told her mother-in-law with whom she had worked and said, the man's name with whom I work today is Boaz. And Naomi said to her daughter-in-law, may he be blessed by the Lord whose kindness has not forsaken the living or the dead. Naomi also said to her, the man is a close relative of ours, one of our redeemers. And Ruth the Moabite said, besides, he said to me, you shall keep close by my young men until they have finished all my harvest. And Naomi said to Ruth, her daughter-in-law, it is good, my daughter, that you go out with his young women, lest in another field you be assaulted. So she kept close to the young women of Boaz, gleaning until the end of the barley and wheat harvests. And she lived with her mother-in-law. This is the word of God for the people of God. Thanks be to God. Let's pray. Father God, we thank you for your holy word, and we thank you that even through this chapter today, we learn of your faithful providence, even for those who are bitter toward you, even for Naomi. Father, in our degrees of closeness or farness from you, we pray that in your word we might take comfort of your mercy, your faithfulness, your goodness, and your love. And we might be drawn all the more closer to you even this day. That we might trust you. That we might delight in you. That we might worship you as you are due. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Now, when Aaron was preaching for our evening service last week, he said that a two-point sermon is better than a three-point sermon. So this week I have only 2 points. The bitter blindness of Naomi and the virtuous vision of Boaz. Now, we'll start with these 2 points, but if we have time today, I actually have a third bonus point planned. So we'll see if we get there. Well, first, chapter 2 begins with how chapter 1 ended, with the bitter blindness of Naomi. First, she is blind to the help available to her in Boaz. In verse 1, the narrator observes that through her husband, Naomi had a relative named Boaz, who was a worthy man. But while the narrator sees and mentions Boaz, Naomi did not. We would expect that in coming back to Israel, she would begin looking for help amongst her relatives, but she did not. Why? I think it's because she did not have enough hope left even to ask for help. Asking for help can be an intimate experience where you are trusting the knowledge of your need to someone else and humbling yourself before them and inviting them to sacrifice for you and to serve you. That is personal. And that is something Naomi cannot do right now. She cannot invite people in. She can only push them away, like she did with Orpah and like she tried to do with Ruth. They, her two daughters-in-law, they offered to serve her, and she told them to go serve themselves and let her be miserable on her own. Thankfully, however, the Lord sent Ruth to go with Naomi so that she would not be alone. While Naomi sat silently stewing in her sadness, Ruth decided to take the initiative. She offered Naomi the help she needed, though she was too numb to even ask for it. In verse 2, Ruth said, "Let me go and glean in the fields." Now, glean is a key word in this chapter, repeated 12 times for us. Just like in Hebrew, the word repent was repeated 12 times in chapter 1. The word glean points us to the gracious provision of God for the poor, as he commanded landowners not to harvest every last bit of their fields for themselves, but to leave the edges of their fields so that the poor could glean or gather grain from their fields for themselves. This gave the poor an opportunity to both work and to have something to show for their work, to have something to eat. Ruth perhaps knows that in the days when the judges ruled, which was the context we saw in chapter 1 of this book, that not every man followed the law of God. So she said, let me go and glean after him in whose eyes I shall find favor. There's no guarantee that she will find a field owner who is faithful to God and who will show her favor as God's word commands. This might be doubly true because she was a Moabitess, and the Israelites often were not very fond of Moabitesses. This is because their relationship with Moab had been fraught with pain. Through the men of Moab in their arms, yes, but especially through the women of Moab in their charms, as they led Israel away from worshiping the one true God. Nevertheless, Ruth was willing to go out and look for a field in which she would be welcomed to glean. This may have been a bigger risk than it sounds, because later in the text, twice even in the text, we read that there was concern that young women could be assaulted while out in the fields. The days were indeed dark in Israel. To Ruth's brave and self-sacrificial offer, Naomi, who is still mentally and emotionally checked out, responded only tersely with the words, "Go, my daughter." Did she realize what Ruth was risking for her? Did she even care? Maybe not. She did not seem to express any concern for her safety or her success. She did not say, "I'm praying for you," or "I wish you the best," or "Be safe," or "May the Lord grant you success." She just said, "Go." Here we see the second way in this chapter Naomi's bitterness had made her blind. She was blind to the help that could have been hers in Boaz, and she was blind to the help offered to her in Ruth. The commentator Ian Duguid notes that Naomi was likely in her 50s, without any significant physical limitations, and therefore she was likely not too old to glean herself, nor incapable of such work. Perhaps, therefore, she should have gone to glean in the fields with Ruth. In addition to the added yield of having two workers over one, there would be added safety in working together, an added comfort in working with a companion. When Ruth said, "Let me go and glean," Naomi could have said, "That's a good idea, Ruth. God has graciously provided us a way to have food by commanding his people to let the poor glean their fields. And you know what? I'll come with you and we can work together. You'll be safer if you're not alone. And you know what? I know the perfect place to start. I have a relative named Boaz who is a good and godly man, and he will likely show us mercy." That's what Naomi would have said if her heart had not been blinded by her bitterness. Instead, she just said, "Go, my daughter." So despite the dangers involved and Naomi's thanklessness, Ruth bravely and self-sacrificially went to glean in the fields. And as verse 3 says, she happened to come to the part of the field belonging to Boaz. Now, Dr. Duguid writes that you could render this, "As luck would have it, she came to the part of the field belonging to Boaz." Now, the narrator, of course, does not believe in luck any more than we as Christians believe in luck. The narrator knows that this is the providence of God, but he does not state this explicitly, at least not yet, because he wants his readers to come to this conclusion for themselves. Nevertheless, in this, we see that even though Naomi failed to give Ruth directions that might aid her safety and success, we see that God did not neglect Ruth, but guided her right to where she needed to be. Now let's consider why the narrator sees Ruth arriving in Boaz's field as such a fortuitous thing. Ruth could have ended up in a field where she was assaulted, or a field where she was not welcomed, or a field where she was merely tolerated. But instead, she came to the field of Boaz. In verses 3 and 4, we are reminded of two things that we are told about Boaz in verse 1. First, in verse 3, we are reminded that Boaz is a family member of Elimelech. Naomi's already lost three men in her family in chapter one. So we cannot take for granted that she will have any family left to help her. But in Boaz, she does. Thanks be to God. Secondly, not only is Boaz family, but he is also a godly man. In verse 1, he is described as a worthy man. And in verse 4, upon coming to his fields, he greets his workers in the name of the Lord. The Lord be with you. Remember that this book is set in the days when the judges ruled. The setting of this book is when godly men were in short supply. So we cannot take it for granted that there will be a godly man to help. In Boaz, however, Naomi has a man who is both family and godly, and therefore uniquely positioned to help her. So what do you think? Did Ruth end up in the field of Boaz by chance or by the providence of God? Moving from Naomi's bitter blindness, the second point of the sermon is the virtuous vision of Boaz. In verse 5, we read that Boaz took notice of Ruth. He really is the first person in the story to do so. Naomi has not yet even noticed Ruth, despite Ruth's promise of covenant loyalty on the road from Moab to Israel, and despite Ruth's offer to risk her own safety for Naomi to glean in the fields of Israel in the days when the judges ruled. In chapter 1, the women of Bethlehem saw Ruth, but they did not talk to her or even talk about her, but seemed to pretend she did not exist. But Boaz asks his foreman, "Whose young woman is this?" And the foreman replied, "She's the young Moabite woman who came back with Naomi from the fields of Moab." In verse 8, Boaz not only notices Ruth, but he also talks to her. And his words to her are full of mercy. He calls her, "My daughter." Perhaps with these words, he's acknowledging his family ties to her as she had married into his family. At the very least, his words acknowledge her as a fellow human being toward whom he shows fatherly affection. He offers her both provision and protection, inviting her to glean in his fields, enjoying the bounty of his grain and the safety of the working environments his character had established in his fields. And he offers her to drink from the vessels of water drawn by his workers. Now, this was before the days when the Jews had developed the custom of not using vessels touched by Gentiles. But this verse providentially serves as a powerful rebuke of that later custom, as godly Boaz invited Ruth the Gentile to drink alongside his workers, even from the very same vessels. Well, Ruth was beyond grateful for his generosity. She was astonished by it. In verse 10, she bowed to the ground and asked, "Why have I found favor in your eyes that you should take notice of me since I am a foreigner?" This point in the story, Ruth still might not know known Boaz from Adam, since Naomi had failed to give her any direction. But Boaz knew her. And he responded to her, telling Ruth the reason for his favor toward her. Let's look again at verse 11. "But Boaz answered her, 'All that you have done for your mother-in-law since the death of your husband has been fully told to me, and how you left your father and mother in your native land and came to a people that you did not know before. The Lord repay you for what you have done, and a full reward be given you by the Lord, the God of Israel, under whose wings you have come to take refuge.'" Boaz explained to Ruth that his favor for her was based on two things: her love for Naomi and her faith in God. Her love for Naomi was seen in her choice to leave behind her own people, her own family, even her own country, and to go with Naomi to Israel that she might serve Naomi there. What sacrifice! Boaz saw and recognized Ruth's love for Naomi, even when Naomi herself had missed it. You know, is sometimes, like Ruth, it feels like our service to others is thankless. But like Ruth, we may find that someone actually has been watching all along and find that our service to others will be rewarded. Do not lose heart. Keep serving in the ways the Lord has called you to serve, and He will take care of you. At the very least, even if your service to others is not noticed by a single human being, by not another person on this earth, God sees you. And He knows what you do for Him and for others, and He will indeed reward you for it. You may have to wait to heaven to receive your reward, but nothing you do for God will be unnoticed by Him. So do not lose heart. In addition to noticing Ruth's love for Naomi, Boaz also noticed Ruth's faith in God, which again, Naomi had missed. Remember in chapter 1, Naomi had tried to send Ruth back to Moab and back even to the gods of Moab, assuming Ruth would rather worship the gods of Moab than the God of Israel. Naomi was wrong about Ruth and about her faith. But Boaz recognized that Ruth was not a Moabitess, religiously speaking. She was a Moabitess by ethnicity, but religiously she was an Israelite, a true Israelite. And she had taken refuge in the God of Israel. Boaz recognized Ruth's character as seen in her loyal love for Naomi and her faith as seen in her taking refuge in the one true God. And he complimented her for these things. Perhaps here Ruth began to blush. Ruth does not blush out of embarrassment for indiscretion, but perhaps she blushed realizing that she did not have the cloak of anonymity that she thought she had. She may have thought she was invisible in Israel, but here was a man who saw her, and he knew all about her family and about her life. She was known by Boaz. Known and praised. Perhaps his compliments brought out some color in her cheeks. As a woman of character, however, she responded to his compliments and blessings with humility and grace. In verse 13, she said, "I have found favor in your eyes, my Lord, for you have comforted me and spoken kindly to your servant, though I am not one of your servants." First, Ruth paid Boaz the respect he was due as a man of character, calling him my Lord. She acknowledged and appreciated his favor in comforting her and speaking kindly to her. And yet, she did not presume upon the kindness of Boaz as if she was entitled to it. She says, "You have spoken kindly to your servant, though I am not one of your servants." Essentially, she is saying that Boaz's kindness to her has exceeded his obligation to her. She is not one of his servants, but he is treating her as if she is. She is not his responsibility, and yet he is taking responsibility for her anyway and showing compassion to her. As the story continues, Boaz continued to be surprisingly generous. In a time when everyone did as he saw fit in his own eyes, Boaz sought to do right in the eyes of the Lord. In verse 14, after inviting her to glean in his fields, he also invited her to join his workers in their lunch. Landowners may have been expected to feed their workers, but likely they were not expected to feed the poor who were working for not for the landowner's profit, but for their own profit. Nevertheless, he invited Ruth to eat with his workers anyway. And Ruth was able to eat until she was satisfied. Dr. Duguid points out the significance of this. As unsupported widows, Ruth and Naomi would have been poor. And though they may have been able to survive on scraps, it may have been quite some time since they had had a full meal. This may have been their first full meal in months. We don't know the depth and the details of her poverty, but eating enough to satisfy her hunger was significant enough an event that the author chose to write it down in detail. Upon Boaz's invitation, Ruth sat with Boaz's men, and Boaz himself passed her the bread, and she ate the bread dipped in the wine until she was satisfied. We even see that from the portion Boaz had allotted to her, there was more than enough for Ruth. There were leftovers. And in verse 18, when she made her way back to Naomi, she took the leftovers home to her. Well, in verse 15, Boaz shows her another kindness. Not only does he allow her to gather in his fields and promise her safety amongst his workers, not only does he provide her lunch from his own resources and more than enough, but he also issues a command to his workers to be incredibly sloppy in their work, leaving behind a lot of extra grain so that Ruth can gather more than her fair share of the harvest. Some landowners, when people came to glean, may have scolded their workers and told them to be all the more thorough, saying, "Make sure you gather up everything that's mine. Those people may be legally allowed to glean in my fields, but as far as it depends on me, I want my grain in my barns. Go gather up my grain and do not make a mess. If those people get too close to you, feel free to tell them off, push them around a little. I don't want them to feel too welcome in my fields, or they might just think about coming back." I'm just imagining what a harsh man might say, because undoubtedly there were harsh men in the days when the judges ruled in Israel. But Boaz was not a harsh man. He was incredibly generous. God's law required him to help the poor by allowing them to glean in his field. But Boaz saw that there was more than duty to obeying God's law. There was delight in obeying God's law. He wanted to help the poor. He wanted to help Ruth and Naomi. And so he told his workers, "Make a mess of my fields. Bring in the harvest, but make sure you leave enough so that Ruth can gather plenty for herself and for her mother-in-law too. God has blessed me so that I can be a blessing. So make sure you leave plenty of grain behind." See, some people look at the law and look for loopholes in it on how to limit the law's hold on us. Or they obey the law begrudgingly. But not Boaz. He did not just want to obey what the law said. He wanted to obey what the law meant, the very heart of the law. He wanted to please God by being generous to the poor. So he did even more than what the law merely required of him. He let the poor glean, and he let them glean more than they were entitled to. Tim Keller has a book on work called Every Good Endeavor, in which he invites readers to learn from Boaz's example and to contextualize his generosity to our own lives. If God has blessed you to the point that you own your own business or have a degree of authority within your company, how can you use your authority to bless others, to bless those who are under you? Some Christian businessmen have intentionally sought to create and fill positions at their companies for unskilled laborers who might have trouble securing other jobs for one reason or another. These Christian businessmen were motivated to do this not by profit, but by mercy. They were trying to create space for the modern poor to come and glean in their fields, as it were, so that they too could work and make a living. Others might think about the protection Boaz provided Ruth as she worked in his field, and think about ways to provide a safe and healthy working environment for their employees. How can you use your authority, as small as it might be, for the good of others? In your work, what is your bottom line? What is the thing that drives your decisions? Is it your profit? Or is it the law of God, which calls you to love your neighbors, even to love your neighbors as yourself? Boaz was not driven by profit. He was driven by mercy. So he was generous to Ruth. In verse 17, we read that after Ruth spent all day gleaning and then worked into the evening beating out what she had gleaned, that is to separate the grain from the chaff. She then came home to Naomi after this full day's work with about an ephah of barley. That's estimated to be about 30 pounds of grain. That's quite a haul for a day's work. It's estimated that that would have been enough food for Naomi and Ruth for about 1 to 2 weeks. In verse 18, Naomi saw Ruth's haul, and I think her eyes got big. She knew instinctively that Ruth's haul was more than the result of hard work. It was the result of someone else's generosity. And so she asks her in verse 19, "Where did you glean today? And where have you worked? Blessed be the man who took notice of you." I think hope is just now beginning to return to Naomi. She did not think she would find the mercy of God, even in Israel, even though she returned to Israel hoping for it. But now she sees Ruth's amazing haul, and she is starting to doubt her doubt in God. Maybe she does have a chance. Maybe God will have mercy on her. Ruth tells Naomi, "The man's name with whom I work today is Boaz." I imagine Naomi doing the math in her head, and she thinks, what are the chances that Ruth would stumble into the field of Boaz, who happens to be one of my relatives and also a godly man, and also that he should take notice of her and shower her with such generosity? The chances of all these things lining up naturally seems implausible to Naomi. It seems more likely to her that God is indeed taking care of her. She has always believed in God intellectually, but now she is beginning to trust God, to believe that he is good and good to his people. When she hears that Ruth has happened upon the field of Boaz, she blesses Boaz in the name of the Lord. It seems her heart has remembered the feeling of hope, the feeling of joy. And she tells Ruth, "The man is a close relative of ours, one of our redeemers." In addition to the laws permitting the poor to glean, which we considered earlier, God's law also endowed people with the right to buy back the land that belonged to their family in order to help their family members who were poor. This family member who would come to your rescue and buy back your land was called a redeemer or a kinsman redeemer. And at the beginning of the chapter, the narrator mention Boaz to us, even though Naomi failed to mention Boaz to Ruth. She was too bitter to have any hope at all, but now hope was beginning to return to Naomi. And hearing the name of Boaz and seeing his great generosity that he had showered upon Ruth, she remembered that God's law had established hope for her, hope for a redeemer. And now Naomi was starting to connect the dots and see that God had not abandoned her after all, and he was taking care of her even now. As Naomi rejoiced in the providence of God, which had brought Ruth's path to cross with Boaz, a godly kinsman redeemer, Ruth adds, "Besides, he said to me, 'You shall keep close by my young men until they have finished all my harvest.'" Boaz had not merely tolerated Ruth gleaning in his field. He invited her to continue gleaning in his field throughout the remainder of his harvest, and really his harvests, both the barley and the wheat harvest. And in verse 22, Naomi says, "It is good, my daughter, that you go out with his young women, lest in another field you be assaulted." Now it seems Naomi's heart has re-engaged. Previously, she had gone into a spiritual cardiac arrest, if you will. But now her heart was beating again. At the beginning of the chapter, Ruth requested permission to glean, dangerous work though it was, and Naomi said only, "Go, my daughter." Now, however, Naomi recognized the danger Ruth faced in the world and recognized Ruth's value to her as her daughter and friend. And she advised her to keep working in the field of Boaz. Dr. Duguid observes that though this seems like such an obvious choice, Naomi still felt obligated to exhort Ruth to choose what was obvious. Naomi perhaps was reflecting upon how she had once strayed from the fields of Israel to sojourn in the fields of Moab, to stray from the fields of God into the fields of God's enemies. And she did not want Ruth to repeat her mistake, but to stay in the field where God was so evidently blessing her, to stay in the field of Boaz. And in verse 23, that's just what Ruth did. She gleaned in Boaz's fields throughout both the barley and wheat harvests. So in this chapter, we see the bitter blindness of Naomi, who misses seeing Boaz and Ruth, and the virtuous vision of Boaz, who sees both Ruth and Naomi. And our bonus point is that at the end, Ruth's loyal love for Naomi and Boaz's loyal love for Naomi both help Naomi begin to see again. She sees Ruth and Boaz, finally. And she even begins to see the goodness of the Lord as well. She sees the Lord's goodness in bringing Ruth to Boaz's field and having Ruth bring home such a haul. Therefore, though before she despaired of even asking for help, now she is beginning to hope again and tells Ruth to stay in Boaz's field throughout the harvests. We'll finish the story of Naomi next week, but even now we're starting to see that with God, there is hope, even for a bitter and broken woman like Naomi. And no matter how far you've strayed from God, there is hope for you in this. He will welcome you back as well. Moreover, he has already provided a redeemer for you as well, though like Naomi once was, you may currently be blind to his existence. This redeemer is a descendant of Boaz, a descendant of David, Christ Jesus, our Savior and Lord. And he can redeem you not just from your bitter circumstances, not just from bitterness of heart, but he can redeem you from all your sin and even from death itself. Even from death itself. Now, this might all sound too good to be true. Again, we are like Naomi in that we are often blind to the goodness of God. But the amazing truth is this: in spite of all your sin, God loves you. And he has provided you the means of your redemption in Jesus Christ. Turn to him, even today, and be saved. Let's pray. Father God, we thank you again for your holy word, and we thank you for the story of Ruth and the story of saving Naomi. We thank you for your servants, Ruth and Boaz, and their faithfulness, their loyal love. And we pray that we who follow you might be like them. Help us be radically generous, that others too might have their bitter hearts melted and turned to you to see your goodness and faithfulness throughout it all. And we pray those of us who are like Naomi may have our bitterness, the bitterness of our hearts melted away as we look beyond our circumstances and start to see that you are behind everything good in our lives and that you are seeing us through the hardships and bringing us the hope on the other side. We pray, Father, let all our hope and trust rest in the Redeemer you have provided for us, Jesus Christ, our Lord and Savior. He is the one who died for us that we might live. He is the one who has paid for our sins that we might have a right relationship with you. And so in him we rest even this day. We take refuge in his wings this day. And in the joy and peace of knowing Jesus, our Lord and Savior, we pray all these things in your name. Amen.